Good morning. Welcome to worship today. So glad to have you with us. Good to gather together on a day that's not blazing hot, which is a good change now. Neil, if you want to come this way and give us a report on the chicken barbecue from yesterday.
Good morning, everybody. I want to clarify something to start with, that when I got home from church, my wife said, "Are you trying to stir a hornet's nest or what?" I said
last week
that we needed to change the name of the John Connor Memorial Holly Grove Lutheran Men in Mission Barbecue, and she didn't understand. Maybe I didn't make it clear. It was not dropping John Conner's name off of it. That man was a saint to me. Love you, man. But thank you to the church, the whole church, because yesterday's barbecue could not be done without the whole church. We sold all but 40 halves, which was excellent, and they were taken by the members that were still here, purchased them as halves. So we should have had a very profitable barbecue yesterday, and it's because of the church, and I thank you all.
Thank you, sir. And thanks to everybody who did desserts and worked selling desserts too. The women raised $775 that can help toward their ministry, so thank you for that. Absolutely. A reminder that tomorrow night is the countywide Lutheran Men in Mission meeting, and that there's a time change. Usually that's been at 7 o'clock, but tomorrow night that's at 6 o'clock at Bex. So 6 o'clock at Bex for the countywide Lutheran Men in Mission meeting tomorrow. It's a few weeks away, but want to start getting it on your radar for middle and high school students. We are going to have our fall kickoff with middle and high school students from all over Davidson County Lutheran churches, and it's going to be here on the 15th of September. It's a Sunday evening. We're going to do some kickball, and we're going to eat. We're going to have a cookout. So hope you'll plan to join us there here on the 15th for that kickoff. Few other things in your announcement, announcements in the bulletin to be aware of, especially that confirmation classes begin on the 8th. So I hope to see our 6th and 7th graders there. And then we're going to do a back-to-school blessing today, and that's teachers and students and education workers of any flavor. So hope you'll join us when we invite during the children's sermon for folks to come up here. Are there other announcements we should share for the good of the community this morning? I know we've got a few prayer shawl, or at least one prayer shawl.
This prayer shawl is for Jordan Chapman's father. He's having surgery on the 11th. So if you'll bless this for him. And then I have some thank you notes. Dear church family, thank you for awarding me a scholarship to help attend college at Greensboro College. It means a lot to have your support during the school year. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. William Curry. Dear church family, thank you for awarding me a scholarship to help attend Appalachian State for my senior year. It means a lot to have your support while I'm at school. I always enjoy seeing everyone when I come home from school. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. Thanks again, Andrew Curry. Your kind appreciation of sympathy means so much. Thanks. Thank you all for the food prepared for families of Lydia Rose during our time of sorrow. Your kindness and thoughtfulness will be cherished. Blessings to all, Glenna, Sheila, and families.
We wish happy birthday to Joe, Olivia, Challen, Gary, Aaron, and Gracie, and happy anniversary to Boyd and Janice. Are there other folks we should mention? Oh, you're still reading. Well, happy birthday and happy anniversary, and we will pray for you in a moment.
HDLC family, thank you so much for the scholarship you gave me this year. This is so appreciated and is a major help in paying for my education. Your continued support means more than you know. Thanks, John Payne.
Let's pray for all those with significant milestones in their life this week. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand as we begin worship on page 94 with our confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If children and people who are going to school tomorrow in whatever role would join us right up here. Okay, come on up this way, guys. All right, come on this way. Okay, so there's a lot going on up here this morning that I want to tell you guys about. First of all, you guys see the baskets back there in front of the altar? What that is we had some donations for school supplies, and we heard that most of your parents had bought the things that you need. So we went to the school, and we said at Davis Townsend, what do you guys need? Can we buy you some school supplies? And they said, oh, yes, that would be wonderful. And they said, but you know what? We have a lot of pencils, and we have a lot of paper and those things. What we really need are some clothes that if children have accidents, or if they get their clothes dirty or messed up for whatever reason, they could wear those clothes home and have something to wear. Could you all help us with that for school supplies? Because if you don't have clothes, you can't really learn, can you? Right? So we needed clothes for people to be able to stay at school, and we said, yeah, we think we can do that. So thanks to that donation, we've got some clothes that we're going to be able to send, and that's wonderful. Back there in the middle, there's some packs of pencils and erasers and rulers and those sorts of things, tissues and paper. And you all may have some of those things, but our church also wanted to help you with some of those things. And so we also have some of those. And when we're done, your parents can help you pick out a few things that you can put in your backpacks to take with you, okay? And one of the things we want everybody to get is we have these neat little things, and they say, peace be upon you. It's a little blessing so that if things get crazy, you can remember that people in this church love you and are praying for you, and we wish you that peace. So this hooks right onto your backpack, and I think we're probably going to have enough that if we need any adults that need some of these, if we run out, we'll get you one, right? Talk with, I think Monica put these together. So peace be with you, and we want you to have one of those for sure. So you guys are going to take some of those things with you in just a little bit. We also have been in the intention, if not good practice, of when our when we have children baptized, we give them a children's Bible, and then our intention has been about the fifth grade to also give a study Bible, and we've not done a great job handing these out every year, so I know there are about four who are in fifth and sixth grade who haven't gotten one of these yet, and I didn't tell them I was going to do this today, so they're not all here to receive these, but we want to give them these Lutheran study Bibles. I'm going to leave these up here. If you all, when you come up for communion, would just put your hand on these and say a word of blessing as these Bibles are going to go out then to some young people. Okay, I think that's all the things that I have. Let me ask a question. Who is going to school tomorrow? Some kind of school or preschool? Okay, a whole lot of us. That's awesome. Some of us stay at home, and that's great too, and we get a little older. We might do some kind of school when we get a little bit older. Who is going to be some kind of teacher or supportive education tomorrow? Great. Okay, wonderful. These are the people that help you guys who are learning, right? Without them, we'd have a hard time. So we want to pray for all people who are involved in this education thing that's starting tomorrow. Can you guys pray with me now? Lord God, we pray for all who are beginning a new school year, that both students and teachers will be blessed in their academic endeavors. Almighty God, you give wisdom and knowledge. Grant teachers the gift of joy and insight, and students the gifts of diligence and openness, that all may grow in what is good, honest, and true. Support all who teach and all who learn, that together we may know and follow your ways, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, if you are going to be a student tomorrow, will you stand up and come right here in the middle? And those of you who are around them as educators, can we put hands on as many of these as we can reach? And we're going to say the words that were on our tag that we're going to hand out and put on backpacks. So you guys can say it with me. Let peace be upon you. Will you say it with me? Let peace be upon you. Okay, now, you all who are students, can you find a shoulder to put your hand on the back of these people who are going to be educators tomorrow? All right. Can you get one on Sheila over there too? All right, now you guys who are students, can you say this with me? Let peace be upon you. Say that. Let peace be upon you. Amen. Wonderful. So when the church service is over today, you guys come up here, and we're going to leave all the clothes, remember, but then you can pick a few things to take with you after church is over too. Does that sound good? Wonderful. If you are heading to Children's Church, you can line up at this door and wait for Miss Jordan, or you're always welcome to stay with us, and you all can find your seats. Thank you.
The reading for the first Sunday after Pentecost is from the 58th chapter of Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interest on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interest, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord. The psalm today is Psalm 103, and it will be read responsively by whole verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases,
who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies,
who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The second reading is from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given them. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gatherings, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if it did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and with awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, Woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Bless his heart. The poor synagogue leader is doing his best, and it's not going well. Jesus comes in to teach in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and I suppose that's all well and good, but when he goes so far as to do a work of healing on the Sabbath, well, it's just more than this poor synagogue leader can abide. He's indignant. He gets so worked up, and he's not even talking to Jesus, just the crowd. "There are 6 days," he says, "six that you could come and be healed. Come and ask for healing on those days, but just keep this one day holy. Is that too much to ask? Don't you even care about the Sabbath?" he seems to say. But Jesus, who is actually the one who did the work of healing on the Sabbath, right? Not the woman who was just there and happened to be raised up. Does he care about the Sabbath? Does Jesus? Because this is not the only time Jesus gets more than a nasty look for his Sabbath behavior in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, there are 3 other times that he heals people on the Sabbath. So what? Jesus is new school and doesn't care about the old Sabbath ways anymore? Is Jesus just God's reset button on this? That means the Sabbath observance and all the other Old Testament faith practices are wrong? No, it's not quite that simple. We can't forget, Jesus is a faithful Jew, right? In fact, the whole reason that these controversies come up is that Jesus is going to the synagogue every Sabbath like faithful Jews do. The problem is not with Jesus, and it's not with the third commandment to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, or other Old Testament faith practices necessarily. The problem is with how this particular leader of the synagogue and some others like him throughout the Gospel of Luke have managed to forget what the Sabbath is all about. And we're not talking about a little slip of the mind. This is like a you've missed the whole point situation. Because if you want to get technical about it, acts of mercy were always permitted on the Sabbath. The third commandment established the Sabbath as a day without work. But then there was this well-developed tradition that went with the third commandment to help people understand how that command should be lived out. It tried to sort out in this tradition what was acceptable work and what was not. And obviously, according to the tradition, you wouldn't let your animals suffer the heat of the day without a drink, even if you did have to untie them and lead them to water on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus latches on to that point and says, if you can free your donkey, how much more does this woman, a daughter of Abraham and a child of God, how much more does she deserve to be set free from her bondage? On a much deeper level, though, than technicalities, some of these leaders who oppose Jesus have forgotten that the Sabbath is inextricably tied to liberation and justice. Deuteronomy 5 gives the commandment that you shouldn't do any work on the Sabbath, but not just you, it says. In fact, your whole household should rest, and not just your family we're talking here. Even servants, even slaves, even foreigners and livestock are to be given the day, that they may rest as well as you, Deuteronomy 5 says. Because remember, you were slaves once too, before God brought you out of the land of Egypt. Basically, in Deuteronomy 5, God says, you know what it's like to be treated unjustly and worked to the bone. You know what it's like not to be free. So when it comes to the Sabbath, you need to be better than that. Yes, the command is don't work, but the reason is so that all people would be set free on that day, free to worship and free to rest. Over and over in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus makes clear that Sabbath observance is about God's reign of justice and freedom for all people. But some of these religious leaders seem to have forgotten that the very roots of the command are in giving the people of God their freedom to live lives that honor that freedom and the God who gave it. They've gotten too focused on what they see as broken rules to the point that they're not able to see the broken people. By suggesting that healing ought to be for the other days and not the Sabbath, this particular leader has thrown the baby out with the bathwater, because release from the things that bind you, that's where Sabbath comes from. That's what it's about. So I think it begs the question for us, are there places where we are throwing the baby out with the bathwater? Are there places where we are opposing the will of God even as we worship on Sundays? And if we think that the answer is no, surely not I, Lord, well, we might do well to remember that this poor, clearly wrong synagogue leader, he was sure of himself too. What Jesus comes to do is pretty well summed up by his mama in the Magnificat. Jesus comes to lift up the lowly. And that's exactly what he does with this woman on the Sabbath. He frees her from being bent over so that she can be lifted up. Does our practice of faith do that? Does it do it for us? Does it do it for other people too? Does our practice of faith lift up? We need to take a look, because this is what Jesus is about. Finding ways to give freedom to those who are low and bound. Jesus comes to lift up, and nothing is going to stop him. Not a leader telling him he's breaking the rules, not being arrested by the authorities, not even himself being lifted up on the cross and lowered in the grave can stop Jesus. The good news that we need to hear is that nothing has stopped, will stop, can stop Jesus from bringing healing and wholeness into this world as he frees the oppressed and the broken. And we are recipients of that healing. We are freed from the power of sin. So then how do we respond? Will we care more about broken norms or broken people? Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Ending each petition, hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord of mercy, we cry to you for help, trusting in your compassion for your whole creation. Raise up the baptized to offer Christ's healing and forgiveness to all in distress. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord, we seek the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Come to the rescue of those who are displaced by war, famine, or disaster. Bless diplomats, peacekeepers, rescue workers, and all who are given aid through their efforts, so that peace and plenty prevail. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, you provide deliverance and justice for all who are oppressed. Free those in any bondage, whether it's physical bondage, bondage to substances, gambling, or any other form of addiction. Release victims of human trafficking and bring them to safety. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, you know our needs in this community. Heal the hurts of all bent over with sickness, aging, or suffering. Especially we pray for Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Walter, Bobby, the family of Lydia, Aldine, Sheila, Frankie, Carol, and all those we name now. Lord, accompany those who visit homebound members, the hospitalized, and those who are in prison. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, watch over all who are beginning new phases of education as students, parents, and teachers. Give them what they need for this new season of learning. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, you raise up witnesses in every generation. As we remember those who have passed into your peace before us, comfort us in the sure hope of your Son's resurrection. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. All these things and more, Lord, we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
So firm and stout, keep in want and trouble out. Bless the roof and chimneys tall, let thy peace lie over all. Bless this door that it may prove ever open to joy and love. Bless these windows shining bright, letting in God's heavenly light. Bless the hearth ablaze in there, with smoke ascending like a prayer. Bless the folk who dwell within, keep them pure and free from sin. Bless us all that we may be, fit, O Lord, to dwell with Thee. Bless us all that one day we may dwell with
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.